Today's reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 to 10. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, folks, as we go into this service and as we're just looking at things, what a wonderful little reading that's been from Isaiah, you know. And I wonder what gives us peace. What gives you peace? I mean, sometimes the noise around us is just extraordinary, and sometimes we just need to be away from other people. Sometimes we just need to go off to a peaceful place or listen to some peaceful music. You know, last week we pondered what gave us hope. And God's truth and his promises give us hope. This week, we ponder what gives us peace, our lives, you know, what calms the turmoil, what changes the situation, you know, what settles our mind, what, you know, peace. I think maybe a shepherd is a starting point, is understanding who our shepherd is and who the God of peace is for us. Isaiah prophesies many a time, but the one he brings this prophecy of the one who brings peace. He tells of how it will come from a certain bloodline. And if you look at the beginning of Matthew and if you look at the beginning of Luke, both of those Gospels, eyewitness accounts of Jesus, use the blood lineage of Jesus in different frameworks to show that Jesus has come from the right bloodlines. He talks about how the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him and bring him wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and you know, and he'll delight in the fear of God because he holds reverence for the Father in heaven. You know, this is something that we as people need to always remember, that we need to uphold God in all that we do and have a wonderful kind of humble fear of God and all that he is doing. This isn't a scary fear. This is a reverence. You know, God will judge based on the Spirit, not what he sees or hears, bringing justice, mercy, and peace. He'll bring it based on who we are as people in relationship to him. Peace, as it says in this passage, sees the leopard lie with the goats, or the lions and the lambs lie down together, the cow and the bear. In other words, the alpha aggressor and the defenseless side by side with no fear, just peace. And this is actually what our world needs today, amen. It's what our world needs today. He comes as a banner or a protector, Jehovah Nissi, the banner, the protector. And so I suppose without a shepherd or this banner over the top of us, we struggle. Without the one who oversees us, we struggle. Sheep do not know where the best pasture is, you know, they don't. Or how to protect themselves. They can be profoundly stupid sometimes. And when there's a problem and you try and catch a sheep, they just run away. The sheep do the darndest things, they do. And it says, we all like sheep have gone astray. But every faith claims to have a shepherd. And so we've claimed that Jesus is our shepherd. God is our shepherd of the sheep. And he actually says, I am the good shepherd. And every faith claims to have a shepherd, but not every faith claims a shepherd who loves their sheep. Ah, so there's a difference. Many have shepherds which want more than is humanly possible to offer from the sheep. And you know, Buddhism uses karma as a shepherd. But if you choose the shepherd, you know, well, it's based, it's kind or it's cruel based on your lifestyle choices. So if you make a mistake, it's cruel to you. The shepherd's cruel to you because you made a mistake. It's not forgiving. And sometimes you just even know how you fail, but the consequences are there. Sometimes, and I've come across this with different Buddhists I've met, that they just say, well, obviously the gods are unhappy with me because all this stuff's happened in my life. And I sit there and say, well, I work from a framework of a God who loves me and forgives me and restores me and doesn't want harm to come to me. And if it comes to me, he sits there and cries with me and comforts me. Mormonism and Jehovah's, they have a shepherd that excludes based on if you wear the kind of right underwear or if it's based on a numerical formula. It's strange, you know, they're both kind of birthed out of the Christian faith, but they've perverted it to a point where they're working out who's in and who's out of heaven based on their guidelines, not on scriptural ones. And that, again, is quite sad because, you know, they Jehovah's Witnesses believe that only 144,000 go to heaven and the rest go to this new earth. But they don't live with God then. So that's inequality of salvation. So God died for all, but only some get to go to heaven. That's not equality. And unfortunately, Scripture's name, equality, is something. The Mormons still believe, fundamentalists in particular, that you have to wear fireproof undies for the day of rapture. And they sell them. Who would have thought? Taoism is as much a philosophy as it is a religion. Taoists have many gods and goddesses, none of whom are eternal or omnipotent. They actually have no shepherd that hangs around. Their shepherds are fallible and die. The Muslim's path to heaven requires following of the five pillars, a confessing faith in Allah and his messenger, Muhammad, and praying five times daily, giving to the work and fasting through Ramadan and making a pilgrimage to Mecca. However, it might surprise you to know that Allah is never referred to as a God who loves. This is one of the most profoundly beautiful things of people who've converted from the Muslim faith or Islam into Christianity. They come across this God who loves them, not just a God who oppresses or pushes down. For other faiths, it's all about how the sheep seek the shepherd's approval to be given salvation or putting faith in a man. So there are many options for life, aren't there? You don't have to take God as your good shepherd. You don't. You don't have to follow his lead in your life. No. You have freedom of choice. You can merrily go on your way where you want to go. And a lot of people do exactly that. You could take God as your shepherd, and this is actually what the scriptures encourage us to say. But what if we don't? Well, Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to man, but in the end it actually leads to death. And now we can seek direction through philosophy. However, philosophers can sometimes get it wrong because they're just working on the human paradigms. We can seek direction through by people who seem wise or theologically right, but they too are fallible because they're people just like you and me. We're fallible. We have problems. We have sin. We have brokenness in our lives. You could actually choose yourself. Oh, I'm only going to take guidance from myself. But then is that right? Because you start to realize where you may have done stuff wrong and you think, well, I'm fallible. So if you need advice and you have problems, the challenges at work or home, then it's best, you know, what do they say in Australian kind of philosophy? Oh, if you've got a problem, go down to the pub and have a glass of beer or wine and that'll fix it. Go and have a chat to someone. You know, there are people still today, you know, it's a multi-billion dollar industry looking into what horoscopes and astrology or tarot reading is going to help. You know, people do this. They go and search for it. This shows how much spirituality there is in society. But not everything is about God. There's a lot of spiritual people, but not everything is about God. And so the Bible says, you know, you need to have a shepherd. And I think that this is a wise thing to actually for us to interrogate is who is our shepherd? And what the Bible says, we're all like sheep, we go astray. And so just like sheep, we're going to follow someone or something. We will. And if we don't make it a point to follow the right shepherd, we'll lose our way or worse. Israel had that problem. The people of the law, the chosen to be God's people, the teachers, so the teachers of the law had actually fallen by the wayside. They'd actually fallen off the perch and decided to start teaching false teachings. But even with all that for their legacy, they still often ended up following the wrong shepherds, even though they had all this beautiful teaching, even though they had the prophecies, and even though they had the Pentateuch, the Old Testament, as we'd look at the whole scriptures even. Even though they had all that, they still ended up following the wrong shepherds, so that at different points, the prophets would cry out. And Isaiah is one who cried out, "We all like sheep have gone astray. We each and every one of us has turned and gone his own ways," he says in Isaiah 53 verse 6. So where is the shepherd now? And I wonder if Isaiah would cry this out today. I wonder if he'd cry out into our society today and say, "Where is the shepherd today?" I'm reminded of Psalm 23 as I'm going through this. Well, how can you not? You know, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He brings me beside cool waters. He restores my soul. And even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I fear nothing because he is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort and guide me. You know, and he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. You know, Psalm 23, it's a psalm of life. It's not just a psalm for funerals for the dead. It's a psalm for the living there to remind us that we're all sheep and that we all need a shepherd to guide us. We're called to follow the good shepherd, and the good shepherd intends to lead us into everlasting life. King David knew this shepherd, and he knew him intimately. He knew that he was created by the shepherd. He knew what he needed and where it was going to take him, and it showed him the best of purposes in life was this shepherd that he'd come across, because he'd met God himself. See, God leads, he feeds, he comforts and protects each one of us. And this is a psalm of life reminding us how we should live in peace, knowing God's good care is over us till our very last breath. You know, and so the Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord's my shepherd, that's all I want. And he takes me to the place of nourishment and he restores me constantly, because that's what God does. You know, do you want the assurance of David in your life? Do you want the assurance of David that, you know, there's something that we must do in order to have this kind of assurance in our life? So I think what we need to do sometimes is just let go and let God be the shepherd. I actually think it's hard for us to let God be the shepherd. You know, even people who really want God to do so occasionally struggle with this concept that God is the good shepherd. So when David was a shepherd over his sheep, his sheep never had to concern themselves with the dangers of the hills, because as a shepherd, he was prepared to fight and save them. You know, thus his sheep always had reason to be confident and to grow and prosper. And because of their faith it was in the shepherd, they knew that they were safe. You know, the sheep is not safe because it says to itself, "I'm stronger than a lion." No, it feels safe because the banner and protector is the shepherd over the top, and David became that banner or that protector over the sheep. But the scriptures also point to Jesus as the shepherd, and his other names in Isaiah give him, you know, there's so many beautiful names for Jesus in the book of Isaiah, so many beautiful names in the scriptures. But, you know, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Amen. The Prince of Peace. If you're looking for peace today, it will not come from the military, it won't come from the police or the government or financial institutions and more. No. It's not going to come from there. It's not. Ultimate eternal peace comes from a real relationship with God through Jesus' death and resurrection. That's right, a real relationship with God through Jesus' death and resurrection. You know, John wrote these words, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." John 3:16, but it goes on and says this. These are precious words. "For God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." That's it. So choose wisely your dominant input. If your dominant input is the news and the sadness, and sadness, well, that's all you're going to feel is sadness. If it's the rumors and fear-mongering in the community, then you'll have fear, you know, and lack of trust. If it's the blame game of social media and politicians, then you'll be angry. But if it's the scriptures, you'll have hope. You'll have hope. And, I wonder what gives me hope. And we were talking about that last week. Hope of God's hand being at work and his will being done and in the brokenness of a situation. Hope of salvation, should glory call. Hope that is real, not false, and not one that nurtures the soul based on the promises not found in the scriptures. Because, see, once we understand hope, it leads us to peace. It reminds us that when we have peace with God, when we're connected to the Father, we have this peace. And because of that, our hope is being fulfilled. As we head towards Christmas, let's remember fondly that God had a plan from Genesis 3 onwards. His plan was not rejection and abandonment, but connection and empowerment. That's right. The good shepherd who guides, guards, and cares for me gives me peace. Gives me peace. Because I know that he guards me. I know that he guides me. I know that he nurtures me. I know he's going to take me to the right pastures. And that gives me the peace. Yeah, I can face adversity with peace. Being a Christian does not inoculate me against adversity or tragedy, but it does empower me with the Holy Spirit, who constantly is with us and reminding us of God's presence. That's right, presence in our lives, and who has given us peace in the tough and confusing times. I'm reminded from the book of John 10, 14 and 16, 3 to 16, it says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not in this pen." Ah, other people who could be coming in as well. "I must bring them also, you know, and they will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock." There should be one flock, and there should be one shepherd. One flock, one shepherd. You know, what brings me peace is knowing that God has got us. He's got our back. He's got us in the good seasons and then the tough seasons. He's got us. Remember, God cares for us as a shepherd, so we should seek his guidance and help and protection as the shepherd of the sheep. We should desire to be in his presence. You know, we should desire to be in God's presence in all that we do. Because I'm sure that when we're in God's presence, the peace is just extraordinary. You know, have a blessed week. Amen.